Hey Dave, Jason here. So on the ninja front, I know eventually you have another ninja episode. I rewatched American Ninja with Michael Dudikoff. As you know, I posted, in your Discord. But I had forgotten about all the cool wrist accessories that the Black Star Ninja had near the end of the movie. He had the flamethrower, and then he had a multi-barrel gun. And then he had, what else did he have? He had a laser. I forgot all about that cool stuff, that all those cool things that they added in there. So that was pretty good. American Ninja, not a good movie, but a fun movie, especially once it got rolling. So take care, Dave.
Come in, my child, out of the cold, and listen how the story's told. From fairy tales to happenstance, the dice rule every random chance. Take off your coat and stay a while, we're rolling that deep percentile.
Hi everyone, so old school summer continues. Very pleased to have a bunch of call-ins about weapon damage in old school essentials, a little bit about the origin of hags. I think there's more to that story to be told. I'm also chuffed to be putting out my 200th episode. So thanks for listening, and to anybody who's managed to stay with me through the whole of the catalogue. Well done. What an amazing feat. Anyway, bunch of call-ins for you.
Hi, Dave. Shannon calling. Just listened to your other episode about ninjas and witches and whether or not to use weapon damage by class. I just think if you're worried about unbalancing the game, you still use weapon damage by class, but you just maybe certain weapons don't speak or activate unless being held by particular classes. I mean, that already sort of happens with wands and rods and scrolls. So if it's a magic sword and you're a wizard and you're using it, it's just a sword. But if you're a warrior or, a holy, maybe clerics, those holy avengers have certain weapons. So you could restrict those powers that way. Anyway, good episode. Liked it. Thank you, sir.
Hey Dave, Jason here. There are Night Hags and Sea Hags in Monster Manual 1 for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition, so which is actually the first book published for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. They, in order, the Monster Manual is the first of the three core books they published. But as far as basic and BX, I'm not positive. I'd have to break that out. I don't have that as handy as I do the AD&D books. I'll have to break out my BX set and look for you. But yeah, it's definitely in first edition AD&D. They have Night Hags and Sea Hags. Night Hags are probably closer, although you have Sea Witches and, folklore too. Night Hags are actually, creatures from the, Hades, the plain Hades, because you have all the planar travel in AD&D. But, they fill in as witches pretty well. But Hags is in just like a witch. I'm not sure, probably not till later on. Anyway, hope that helps. Okay, Dave, quick addendum. So the first time I see in the basic rules, as far as like BX or Beck Me, the red box, blue box, all those books, the first time I see it is in the master rulebook set. There's an entry for Hag Black and Hag C. And the Black Hag is effectively the Night Hag out of AD&D. And this is the black box set, the fourth set in the Beck Me, the master rule. You have basic, expert, companion, master, and then immortal. So it's not until that master rule set, which is really set up for really high level players. Actually, master's what it's levels 26 to 36, and that's where they finally introduce hags. So in the basic, it's like 1985 is where it showed up there, but like I say, it did show up in the very first Advanced Dungeons and Dragons rule set. So anyhow, hope that helps.
Hey Dave, it's Minion here again. I was going to go and record out on the balcony, but it's just, it's hot enough to cook eggs, and the cicadas are deafening. So, hags. I looked through all the old edition, the original edition books, nothing in there, nothing in Holmes Basics, and it appears that they first appeared in the Monster Manual, which was published first in 1977, so that's my guess. Thing with BX balance, I think these things are, I mean, it was obviously playtested hugely, right? But it's still very arbitrary. And I think another point to add is it's only balanced if you use experience tables as given in the books. So as soon as you throw out experience and you let people advance equally, regardless of class, things change. So playing rules as written and then maybe changing some things, optional things here and there, is probably the best way to sort of proceed with it before like overhauling the whole thing. I don't know. Tying in with that, I guess, is swords, the magical swords. I mean, do you let the wizards have access to what would otherwise be, you know, the special field of the fighter, etc.? I don't know, again. I mean, elves obviously are able to do that, but then, you know, elves need huge amounts of experience points. It's a tricky, tricky thing. But I really like the idea of the damage by hit dice, regardless of the weapon type. So the fighter, if he chooses to use a dagger, he's able to do, as Jason says, he's able to do huge amounts of damage, d8, same as if he was using a two-handed sword. There's a lot of fun in there, as long as it's done well and realistically. You know, why is he doing that? Why are they dealing this kind of damage? Anyway. Hey Dave, Minion again. I just realized that we could just simply use hit dice for damage and for hit points for anything, and not have that based on the original first level damage output of, you know, that hit dice, so 1d4 for a wizard, magic user, but the level of that character. So if they gain a hit dice of their own variety per level, then that can also be the damage output. So you could have fighters, a third level fighter would be putting out 3d8 damage, which could fell another third level fighter in one blow. Similarly, it's unlikely that a first level fighter would kill them in one blow, but be very easy for the third level to kill a first level fighter in one blow, etc., etc. Makes it much more dangerous, of course. And the same thing applies to monsters. So if a monster uses 1d8 for their hit dice and it's a four hit die creature, then it's going to do... Sorry, got cut off. I wasn't paying attention. So yeah, the four hit die creatures doing 48 damage when they're as an output. You wouldn't even have to worry about multiple attacks in this case, really, would you? So it's lots of interesting ways you can take the original rules, you know, of D&D and just apply them in slightly different ways. You could just take the original white box 74 and ignore all the other stuff that was bolted on later, and then adapt the combat system, which was kind of, there were optional styles of combat in that, if I recall, anyway. So, I don't know, it's interesting to see a game and how it worked out. You'd have to do a lot of plays. Anyway, cheers. Bye-bye.
There we go. So, great suggestions there from Shan Ferguson, firstly, Jason Connolly, and then Rob or Menion. Yeah, Jason, I've got unfinished business with Hags and Witches. I feel that episode coming on finally. Yeah, good suggestion. I was sort of nearly there, Shannon. I'd said damage by class, but keep the weapon restrictions. But yes, your suggestion, keep the weapon restrictions just for magic weapons. That pretty much does it all. I still think, in line with Menion's advice, that I'll probably just do it by the book in the first instance. But that might be the first change I make. Yes, and then Menion, after saying don't change too many dials, you then say, but hey, if we change this dial, it would be awesome. It would, wouldn't it? Damage by hit dice would, it would certainly speed up combat. That is actually something 13th Age sort of goes there. 13th Age scales up your damage by adding multiple dice as you level up, and that's very good fun. But one always feels, well, with 13th Age, you know, your damage went up, monster's damage went up, hit points went up, you know, you wonder why you bother, whereas BX, if you kept everything else the same, you just get quicker, more deadly combats. Could be fun. Cheers for call-ins. Love to get them. Keep them coming. Yeah, and celebrating 200 episodes. Looking forward to 201. I'll catch you soon.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to contact Dave, please leave a message on Anchor, email dpercentile@gmail.com, or find him on Twitter at d_percentile.